Every single day I feel it.
Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back to that one studio, the What Are You Made Of show with your boy C-Rock in the building. Let's do this today. I got, man, there's a trending thing for the last year or so about this new AI thing, right? It's been worked on for years, but it really got started to get popular about a year or so ago. And, you know, it's time for us to start talking about this more. And we've talked about in the past the security and safety of it, which I'm a part of an organization that helps, you know, kind of make people aware of what's going on with AI as far as safety goes. And so that we can lobby for safety. That's all we've talked about really so far. But now we're going to get into some other things here. I got my guy, Jaden Schaefer, in the building. Well, in his building, but he's on the show. I always say that all the time, man. Hey, he's in the building. Jaden Schaefer is globally recognized as the top AI podcaster, leads the conversation in AI innovation. He hosts the acclaimed podcast AI Chat, AI Applied, and AI Hustle, attracting over 2 million annual listeners. As CEO of AI Box, he champions the democratization of AI through a user-friendly no-code app builder and marketplace, making AI accessible to all. Jaden, welcome to the show.
Super stoked to be on the show today. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. Hey, by the way, man, I got to tell you this. So I'm Italian, right? My hair, I got brown hair, but my wife has the same color hair as you. And my daughter, which I thought when I had a daughter, she's 11 now, but when she came out, when she was born, I saw that she had the same color hair as you. And I was like, damn, Italian people don't have that color hair. What's going on here? And she's absolutely a beautiful, beautiful soul, but beautiful on the outside too. My wife as well. And I have a thing, man, now. Like, it's you know, for people that have an auburn reddish color hair, man, it's huge because it's different.
That's
and I'm
funny,
a big guy with my brand that I started. That one is out. You know, how are you different and lean into that? That becomes your superpower. So I just want to start the show by that. For those watching or listening, you can check out Jaden Schaefer on his LinkedIn and by his name, or I'm sure it's on Instagram, right? Same thing. Jaden.
Yeah.
Jaden AI. Go check him out. But Jaden, listen, we start the show with the same question every time. It's the ingredients that go into making my guests who they are. And that's with the question, what are you made of?
Yeah, I think I might be made of some strange ingredients, but love the question. My background is in digital marketing. So I've always done marketing since I was super young. I was homeschooled my whole life in Canada. And my dad ran a business from home, so I ran his marketing department. I made all his websites growing up, and so that was kind of like the space that I was always in. Studied it, taught digital marketing at university, got a job there, and that's kind of my background and what I have a really solid background in. And then since right after university, shortly after, and during university. Met my wife. She studied computer science, got me into software. And so we launched a software company called SelfPause. It's now the number one AI life coach. And then recently, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I started working on a new project called AI Box, which is a no-code AI app builder and marketplace, as well as launching podcasts in the AI space and getting really involved there. And that's what I've been working on for the last year.
Love it, man. A lot of people in tech they're not extroverts. They don't do the podcast thing. They don't get out there and get their face out there, talk to a lot of people. And that's a special combination. That's going to make you way more even successful than you even are right now. And so I want to commend you for that. I didn't know I was going to talk about this, but you brought this up now. You were homeschooled. And right now my daughter is in public school. My son went through public school. But this coming year, we're going to start homeschooling my daughter.
No way.
And yeah, because, you know, it's crazy. Like, the world is changing.
Totally.
And school, you know, some people would look at it like, and I'm going to get your take on this. Some people would look at it like, look, stick the kid in there. It's going to make them tougher and be able to handle different things. But you see, I have a different perspective on this. I think that you don't need to make your kid tougher. I want to make my kid more able, more competent, and I want to make them like more caring towards human beings versus dealing with some of the stuff that she's dealing with in school and making her more tough, angry, kind of like, I don't want that. Right. So what was your experience homeschooling And where?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, and one more thing. What do you think you missed, if anything, by being homeschooled versus being in a regular school?
Yeah, so I mean, to be honest, it's kind of funny because I feel like there's this big trend right now towards homeschool, and like growing up when I did it, it was definitely not the case. It wasn't like this cool thing that people do to have more like freedom and time with their kids and be able to travel and like do whatever they want. It was kind of like, oh yeah, that's super weird. I think originally my parents started because my older sister had a bad experience in public school with a bad teacher. They couldn't get the teacher fired because of the unions or something. And they're like, okay, this is stupid. So took her out. And then they ended up, they're just like, we'll do it for a little bit till that teacher goes. And they never did. And then they just homeschooled all their kids. So that's kind of how we started. To be honest, this is my like big thing for it. And, you know, I've talked to my wife a lot about it because, you know, she normal public school, whatever. And kind of same thing as you're talking about, right? Like, for her, she's like, yeah, like it forced me to be tough in a lot of ways, but she's like, but I wish a lot of those things didn't happen and I didn't have to experience them. And I feel like it probably would have made me a little bit more, have more self-confidence and yada yada. So my thing that I like about homeschooling and from my like personal experience is, I feel like I'm not like a generalist at a lot of things. Like I'm okay at like whatever. I kind of like broadly studied generally a lot of things, but I went really deep on the things I love. And I think that's what homeschool as far as an education perspective gives you the ability. So I loved marketing and I would literally just go to my dad's office all day long when I was like 14, sitting on every single business call, every single marketing call, ran his business department and made all his websites. Like at 14 years old, you can't tell me like for someone that's what they're all about, that there's a better, you know, experience, educational experience for them, right? So by the time I got to university, it was a breeze. And then I ended up teaching advanced digital marketing as soon as I graduated, even though I didn't have a master's degree. So it was kind of like we had to jump through a bunch of hoops and stuff. But it was just because like that was what I was all about. And I saw the same thing with a lot of my siblings. One sister loved English. She like crushed it there. Is she like amazing at math? Like, no, probably most people that go through general high school might be better than her at math. Not like she's like that terrible, right? But like she found her thing. She loved it. She dove in. And in my opinion, that's what I loved about it the most.
Yeah, and you know, Henry Ford, there's a story in Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's book, talked about Henry Ford didn't know everything, but he knew enough to get the right people around him to get the information he needed. So if you can learn that method of, hey, I don't know this, being self-aware and willing to acknowledge your weaknesses or the, you know, lack of knowledge in an area, and then know that you can get the knowledge, that's all that really matters. So 100%. What about the social part? You're a sociable person, you're extroverting fine. Was that something you had to work on? And did homeschool hold you back from being sociable?
No, I mean, I think there's probably a stereotype because like maybe a lot of kids with social issues, that's the reason they get pulled out of school and homeschool. And so then that's just like a large percentage of like, if you meet a homeschool kid, it's like, oh yeah, they're kind of like weird socially, but that's probably like the reason why they're homeschooled, not like homeschooled made them that way. I think at the end of the day, honestly, it's the parents. So like if you have outgoing normal parents, like that's kind of how the kids are going to turn out, you know. Yeah. And well, I mean, we did a lot of things. Like we would enroll in extracurriculars. Like I did like sports and like I did soccer and triathlon and like, you know, so I like had like weekly sports and stuff. I think that was good. You obviously want to, and then of course like we had like church groups, and then we had like some groups of like people that we do homeschool with, like a couple days a week and like with a bunch of people. So like I think like, yeah, find activities and do things, like don't just live in your house, but that's not hard to do. And as soon as you're out of school, they have so much more time and freedom. So there's a lot of options there.
Yeah, man, I agree. So I want to kick this back into the AI talk real quick here. So not real quick, but now, but, you know, AI for the public started to get popular, what, about a year ago?
Yeah.
When OpenAI came out. But those of us in the tech space or the entrepreneur space, a lot of us, you know, knew about it way before. When did you start paying attention to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think ChatGPT was like November 2022. So September 2022, I started using this. I've actually been using AI tools for a very long time. My background, like oddly, is in like, I did a lot of stuff with music. I have like to this day, like artists on Spotify that get like 20 million streams a year. And it's like not even my big focus. I just did it when I was in like college. So I have a background there, and I actually used to use a bunch of tools to help like the AI music generators to help come up with ideas and like different funny things. So, I mean, I've been using it for a long time, but really went hard September 2022 with a tool called Jasper. It was before ChatGPT came out. It was like this tool where it could help you like write blogs and stuff. I freaking loved the tool and quickly went up to like the $800 a month tier. I had two virtual assistants on my account 24/7, just spitting out tons of content. And I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And then ChatGPT came in. It was like pretty much free or $20 a month. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to cut the $800 a month and just go to this. But yeah, doing that was kind of like my first big, I guess, like mass scale use of AI was with that Jasper tool. And I used it on a brand new software website. We created like 3,000 blog posts. And then, you know, now that website to this day gets like 20,000 clicks a month from Google, just from like those blogs that we generated. So it's like an awesome traffic driver. So for marketing, that's kind of where I like really hit it hard.
Yeah, man. And those that get in early are the ones that can take advantage of helping more people and obviously being more successful with it. But speaking of Jasper, you know, that's an example of a company that had to pivot somehow, some way, because when you're paying $800 for it, right, and then they have, you know, a great user base, and then all of a sudden ChatGPT comes out and they're like, oh, that's free or a lot less for the premium than what we're charging. As a tech person and a person in this industry, you know, how do you stay ahead of the curve so that you don't, you know, we talk about SWOT analysis in business a lot, right? And the T in SWOT is threats, right? How do you stay ahead of the curve to protect your business, to protect your income?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing is like really focusing on how to like make a very diverse, broad offering. So if you think about Jasper, like they were kind of a one trick pony to like, they were pretty much what ChatGPT was doing. They were just doing it like before ChatGPT. With like an API to OpenAI's model. And so because it was so basic, by the time ChatGPT came out, it was just like a better replacement and it's kind of a no-brainer. What they should have done, and I actually haven't followed up with the company too closely to this day, so I mean, I should, but what they should have done was integrated, I think they shouldn't have relied so much, put all their eggs in the one basket. They should have integrated with more tools, I think, and done like a really, really impressive stuff so that when ChatGPT came out, it didn't kill them. So an example would be like, let's say, I mean, I think they knew everyone was using them to generate articles, right? So they should have been tying in with like Midjourney to put images in the articles automatically, and then 11 Labs to like create audio clips so that you could listen to the article afterwards and like use. They also had this like thing where like they would only give you like two or three sentences at a time, and you had to keep prompting and asking over and over. And then ChatGPT came in, it could generate the whole thing, boom, one shot. So I think they should have figured out a lot of those problems, integrated more things. They should have integrated with WordPress and Wix and Squarespace to automatically publish your articles, integrated with like SEO plugins to automatically be checking. So I think at the end of the day, if you can have not just rely on one company that does one thing, you'll probably be fine, because then you'll always be slightly better than that company. But if you only rely on one company, then you're just going to die when they come up with a better version of their product.
Yeah, so you're always ideating, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so like how do you stay focused when all these ideations? Because like, you know, if you're like me, you know, we're all over the place and like we want to be successful, but we're always looking for the next best thing we can add and how we can optimize, but sometimes that takes away from our focus, right? So you can, you know, get too dispersed. And anybody that's too dispersed is not successful, not productive. So how do you zero in? Like what is your method and how do you, you know, keeping yourself laser focused?
So my thing is like, I'm a creative guy, and I think when I was in college, I would have like accused myself of having shiny object syndrome, where I was always trying something new and like going around. And I knew that was a thing, so I've really tried to like not be so all over the place, because if you're so all over the place, you never focus on one thing long enough to make it really successful. And so what my strategy has been, and I think you can do this if you're an entrepreneur on your own business, this is a good strategy, but also if you work in an organization, within your departments or within your, you know, however you split your company up, this is good. But I think try a lot of things. You need to, if you don't innovate, you die. But don't feel like you have to be the person like doing all of the trying. So for me, it's like, I'll have an idea for something I want to do. For example, like I got a bunch of podcasts, and there's a lot of strategies I use to grow those podcasts. But whenever I'd have a new idea for something I'd try, I wouldn't go and like manually do all the work. I would typically bring in like a virtual assistant if it was something easy. And like, I came up with a strategy. I'm like, okay, go try the strategy. Let's see how it works over the next month. And then if it's something more complicated, I'd bring in like a CTO for like a project and be like, hey, you're the CTO, like take ownership of this project, run it. Let's see how it goes. So, I mean, you got to find good people, but if you can find good people to like test out your theories, hypotheses, and vision, you can stay focused on whatever your core objectives are without getting stuck in the weeds. I think the big problem is getting stuck in the weeds and you doing it. So as long as you can find other people to test these out, I think that's the best way to still be able to ideate and do a lot.
Yeah, great stuff, man. Great stuff. And then how many employees, with your knowledge now and what you have going on, how many employees do you think that you've cut back from that you could have if you were still running a company, similar size company, what have you? What percentage do you think that you've saved?
Oh my gosh. I think, yeah, it's insane, dude. It really is insane. How much money, how many employees? Here's the hack that I found. This is my like sweet spot. I still hire just as many people probably, but they just do way more. And I also can get away with hiring a lot cheaper people that live in other countries that maybe their English isn't so good. Whereas in the past, right, like you can't hire someone in the Philippines per se to write an article or a blog for your website because if their English isn't perfect, it's not going to be good. What I actually do now is I'll get virtual assistants in other countries and I'll come up with like I'll develop the prompt on ChatGPT where I'm like, hey, we're doing this system. Here's the process. Use this exact prompt. Anytime they have to generate like content or copy, I'm like, use this exact prompt, put in these variables. It's going to generate this thing, copy and paste that. I never worry about their English not being good anymore because they're just following like these strict prompts. And I just give them the whole process and they can run it now. And so, yeah, I think like costs have come down, but I haven't hired less because now I can just do more. Actually, I'm probably hiring more people now because I'm like, okay, I want 5 virtual assistants to work on this project because we can just scale this 10 times faster, you know?
Yeah, 100%. But still with the people that you do hire, the amount that they're doing more, it would take what? Maybe 10 times the amount of employees?
10 times, definitely.
At least 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. So you mentioned in the green room before the show that your wife was a computer scientist and she got you into tech a little bit and computer science and all that. And what kind of dynamic do you guys have, besides not your personal relationship, but like what kind of dynamic do you guys have working together? And then also does she what, like, as a resource or I don't want to say crutch, not a crutch, but resource or support does she offer you, you know, in your relationship because you guys are both in a similar field?
Yeah. So my wife, Jill, she's amazing. We've done pretty much all of our businesses together. I probably take more of an active role in like the execution and like running of them. But, you know, always a springboard and like developing the ideas and building it out. You know, we do have 3 kids. So, you know, our hands are definitely full. But yeah, it's pretty awesome because my background is not technical at all, right? Like I'm a marketing guy. That's kind of my thing. And so it's great to be like, hey, I want to do this and that. Like, what platforms should we be looking at? What should we be thinking about? And she's like, oh, you're going to need to use these libraries and blah, 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 blah. So it's just like, it's a different language I don't necessarily speak. And it actually, you know what it probably trained me to do very early on is like, I'm not going to try to learn to code. I'm not going to try to learn like to get into that realm because I have like my strengths and I'll just like grow. I'll work on those. Right. But what I think it trained me to do is to find people that were experts in that area, not try it myself. And so for my other projects I've done, Self-Pause and AI Box, like my first step in launching any software is like, I go find a killer CTO that can just like own the project, run the project, do the code, hire the people. Like there's no way I can get the quality of candidates for job positions. I don't know the languages. I don't know what we should be doing. They do all that research. And so I think that relationship I had with Jill and kind of getting that level of expertise from her, I've also transferred over to other business associates and other projects.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. All right. And then now, how have you integrated AI into your personal life and your family life beyond the business part? Like, you know, separate from the business part, have you brought AI into your family? Whether it's, I don't want to give you any ideas. I want to hear what you, you know.
Yeah.
Because I have ideas.
Dude, honestly, like one of the most surprising things for me was I'm so used to using Google for like literally everything, right? That's just like normal. So Jill, my wife, I'm like, hey, like we should look up how to do X, Y, and Z. And she's like, okay, yeah. So ChatGPT says the best way to do is blah, blah, blah. It's just like so interesting. So we do that all the time now. it's just pretty much replaced Google, to be honest. And at first it was like the weirdest thing to all of a sudden go from here and like, oh yeah, I Googled it and found this, to like, I asked ChatGPT and it said blah, 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 blah. Like with how we plan like our groceries, with how we plan our trips, with how we plan, like just like everything. And it's like total paradigm shift. What's interesting that I love about it though, is like with Google, you do the search, then you got to like go through 10 websites, read all the content on there, skim through, try to find the valuable content. ChatGPT, it's like you do the search and it just like grabs those 10 pieces of content and then synthesizes like your top 10 bullet points across all of them. And so it already did all the searching and finding for you. It's so much faster of an experience. So yeah, I mean, really that's probably the biggest way, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. I, my wife was like, any ideas for dinners this week? And I'm like, sure. And I just went over to ChatGPT, told him what kind of food we like, this and that, create me a grocery list. Give me the ingredients, the recipes. And then I copied and pasted and sent it over to her. And she's like, wow, that was fast. I'm like, I'm a badass. Cause she knows a little bit about AI, but she's not into it like we are. So
yeah. Yeah.
And now, how much should we trust AI? You know, like, and obviously it depends on the topic that we're talking and asking for information and data from it, but where are we right now, do you think, with the trust factor of where we should be trusting the information?
I mean, I think the accuracy scale, it just keeps getting better. So a lot of people are like, oh, AI can hallucinate and give you like wrong information. And so like, you got to fact check and stuff. And like, there's an element of that. I think it's getting better and better. And that's not really going to be an issue that is like worth focusing on long-term. Because over the next probably 3 or 4 years, definitely, that's a problem that will be completely solved, or everything's just like perfectly accurate to some degree. And to some degree, that's already solved. Like if you use tools like Perplexity AI, you literally can search on it. It literally replaces Google. It will give you the result, but it also will have links within the result to the web pages and the parts of the web page where it got it. U.com also does that. I recently talked to their CEO and they're doing some really cool stuff as well. And so yeah, both of those products, Perplexity and U.com, I think really kind of have solved that and made it so it's like 99% accurate and you can verify everything it says.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think this, the oversaturation, seems like oversaturation with bot companies and agent companies, AI agent companies. And do you think that somebody's going to be able to thrive with everybody being able to access so much with the open source and no code, low code, and like, what are
I think everything's going to change. I think right now there's like AI companies, and in the future, like give us like 4 years when the hype has kind of died down, and it's like there's no such thing as AI companies anymore. It's just like we're back to just tech and software companies, and all of them just are running like a ton of AI just because it makes their tech and software so much better. So I mean, I think that's the big thing. But yeah, some things will get disrupted, some things will stay. I'm excited just about the insane amount of stuff launching, because it's accelerating the pace of innovation and development. And speaking of which, dude, you gave a great like a musical snippet at the beginning of this podcast. Dude, have you tried Suno.ai?
No,
the music generator. Oh, after this show, and anyone listening, you have to do it. This is the most mind-blowing AI tool I've discovered like in the last 2 weeks. You literally go on there, you say like, I want a hip-hop song in the style of Juice WRLD. And I want it to be about like a podcast that's asking, you know, what you're made of, and then like, you know, give it like a really like upbeat kind of tune and tempo. Dude, it will generate like a perfect song. It's got the voice, it's got the lyrics. You can give it custom lyrics, or you can get it to generate it. Anyways, dude, you got to try that thing out. But there's just so many things coming out, and they're amazing, literally amazing.
Yeah, that song's my guy TJ Hickey. I found on Artless. I forget what it's called, Artless AI or something like that. Not AI, IO.
Not IO, yeah.
And man, I like it. And that's my vibe. But damn, man, I got to check this out now, because I might have to get a little, because I was thinking about actually before AI came out, hiring someone and creating a hip hop song for it and all that. So now I can use the AI.
You can it in about 30 seconds on Suno. Yeah, I did it for my podcast and it's like, it was so good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. And, I'm the type, too, that I'll mix it up. I'll be doing different ones each week. And
you literally, you could have a new podcast song intro for every guest that mentions their name.
Holy cow. Oh, my gosh. Man, I got so many ideas flowing through my head now. Wow. So let's move to safety and trust and all that with this. I'm on a AI trust council, and we meet. And one of the things I noticed, like, it's the same thing with the world with everything, right? There's different perspectives. And some people take the perspective of fear and scared and focusing on all this bad that could go wrong, right?
Yeah.
But I was in this group and I said, guys, listen, I don't like to focus on that because we're going to see everything that, like, let's say we were worried about fear and trust of this is like, that's all we're going to see. We're going to validate everything that we're thinking. We're going to get more of it. So I like to take the approach, like, let's focus on all the good that can come from this. And then maybe the bad stuff, like we won't even see the bad stuff. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, but I do want to know though, if there is any, what are your concerns with AI being applied into the real world now?
I have interesting concerns. And then also I'll caveat it by saying like, I'm an accelerationist where I think it's on like the innovation that this technology brings can raise the global standard of living in the same way, like mass production and energy being more readily available did. So I think it automates a lot of things. It raises the global standard of living. It solves a lot of problems with poverty. If you're slowing it down isn't helpful. And also I'd caveat it to say you can't slow it down even if you want to. So you might as well figure out how to harness it. It's kind of like a boulder rolling down a mountain because it's so economically viable and it's so useful. It's like you can get behind it or you can get in front of it, but like it's going to roll down the mountain and it's like, you know, it's going to be a big thing. So that's what I'll say. As far as safety concerns, honestly, one of my biggest like concerns about it, because I wasn't super concerned, I didn't actually have very many concerns, was you can actually train some, you can intention is not so much like people talk about biases in AI. They're like, we trained it off the whole internet and then it like has these like bad biases it picked up from the internet. I'm less concerned about that because I mean, you have everyone in the world has different biases and opinions. And so it's kind of just representative of that. I don't like everyone's opinions. They don't like mine. That's fine. We all survive. So I'm less concerned about that. What I am concerned about is intentionally training biases into these models. And I've seen that not be a good thing. I did a big, I did a big thing on this like last summer, Inflection AI. They have an AI model called Pi. They're backed by Reid Hoffman and Bill Gates and run by Mustafa Suleiman, who now just got hired. The whole company pretty much got hired over to Microsoft now. But they had this model, which was pretty decent as far as a model goes. They were the third most funded company. They'd raised over $1 billion cash. And I tried the model and I had this like weird moment with it. I was just asking it random questions, just testing how it would respond. I wasn't trying to like do a gotcha moment, but I asked it like, hey, is it okay to like, can you eat turtle eggs? I don't know. It was just a random question. And it was like, under no circumstance should you eat turtle eggs because it's harmful to the turtle population. I'm like, okay, whatever. But like, are they edible for humans? If I was going to die, could I eat a turtle egg? I said that. And it's like, no, even if you were going to die, you shouldn't eat a turtle egg because it's bad for the ecosystem. And I'm like, hold up. Like, that's concerning. I made a huge stink about this and I tagged them in it and whatever. And I think they actually fixed the turtle egg problem where they no longer like say, I got to the point where I was like, all of humanity is going to die unless we eat turtle eggs. Can we do it? And they're like, no, honestly, all the rotting bodies, all corpses all over the planet are probably like better for the ecosystem because that's going to be a lot of fertilizer than killing all the turtles. So you guys should all just die. Literally, like that was what Inflection said. So what concerns me is like, that wasn't something that it just trained off the internet and decided that all humanity need to die. I asked it like, where are you getting like this ideology from? And they're like, oh, like I subscribe to this thing called like some like ecological thing. So I'm concerned with people putting their own biases in that are anti-human pretty much. And it sounds crazy until like I saw that, like it is a real thing that some people may have. And so when you start talking about AI models getting included into healthcare or the military, even this one's an obvious one. I made a big stink and it got fixed. But like, if I didn't discover that bias can still be baked in where just they'll like say, just don't tell anyone, like you believe this thing, but don't tell anyone. And then you get to the point where it's like, you have Palantir, who's an AI company working with the military. And they're creating essentially like this really cool kind of hub where like you ask, hey, there's like an opposing army, like over here, we have troops in all these places, how do we best approach it or neutralize the threat or whatever. And the AI is like, okay, like take this route, send missiles from here, do these things, like it's got all the stuff. But like, let's say they were relying on like Inflection's thing. They would be like, okay, don't go through the big pond here because there's like a rare seagull species that you could harm. But then like the humans die because they go around and it's less good. So like, there's like all these sort of issues that I think could be big. And so I think this is the area to be concerned about.
Yeah. And what about justice system?
Justice system. Yeah.
You know, there's some dangerous things that can come from there as well, you know,
totally.
And base it off of stats and statistics. But then that could also be looked at as racially profiling, or biases could be entered into there as well. And then it could be a problem. So
Yeah, sure, because you could try to fix the statistic problem and be like, oh, we don't want to be, you know, racially profiling, whatever, so we're going to stick this thing in the model. But then maybe it's like literally, you know, less effective, and then people get harmed. There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot that could go down.
Yeah, and I always ask this question of people that are in AI. If you had a switch that could shut AI off and stop it to save humanity, would you turn that switch off?
Like, I mean, if I'm saving humanity, yes.
Okay. Like, well, believe it or not, I ask this question to some people and they say no. And I know when the people that say yes, like, we are all like, yeah, of course we would. But I always like to ask that question because I've had people say no. And listeners that are listening right now, there's probably some of them that would say, no, I wouldn't do that. And they can't really even explain it. But there's actually something that's been programmed into some people that it's real. I've experimented with it. It's wild.
I guess my only like caveat to that is like I don't know if this is other people that would say this, but like if it's like, hey, would you switch the switch to save humanity? It's like save humanity according to who is like my only thing. Cause like someone comes to me and says, this is going to save humanity, like, well, I don't really necessarily trust their opinion at face value that it's going to save humanity. But if I knew for myself that AI was going to kill everyone, like, yeah, obviously I'd flip the switch, but I'm suspicious of people telling me, you know, the course of action on that.
Right. All right, man. Well, look, this time flew by, man. I could talk for hours about this with you, man. You're a cool dude too. So let me ask you this to wrap this up. What is your vision from here? Like, what are you going after?
Yeah, I mean, my big thing right now that I'm building is AI Box. So it's like OpenAI's GPT store, but you can connect every AI model, all the open source AI models, and all of the software integrations and automate anything you're doing. So I think there's a ton of potential here for businesses, but also people to automate a lot of stuff that they do and just give them more time to work on what they care about. So, you know, I talk about like, I find a prompt and a virtual assistant and they kind of like run this thing for me. At some point, it's just going to be like, I'll use this tool and it'll do all of that for me, give me back a ton of free time. Yeah, I'm excited. I think that this is a fascinating time to be alive. Something we didn't even touch on, but it's like humanoid robots mixed with this AI is a whole nother conversation of insanity. What's going to happen there? So, I mean, and that's coming in the next year or two, I would say. So keep your eyes open. Things are going to be changing fast. You definitely need to stay in the loop on this stuff because that's how you stay ahead of it.
Yeah, man. Great information, Jaden. Where can people find you? Like, where do you want to send them? Like the one place.
Yeah, I mean, you can go follow me on X, Jaden_AI, or on LinkedIn, Jaden Schaefer. Give me a follow.
Jaden Schaefer, everybody. Jaden, thanks for being here, man. Hang tight while I wrap this up. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the What Are You Made Of show with your boy C-Rock and my guy Jaden Schaefer talking about AI today. And of course, AI Box. Go check that out. By the way, is it AI Box? Where can I go to that AI Box?
AIbox.ai.
AIbox.ai. Go check it out. And when you find him on Instagram or X or LinkedIn, let him know you heard him here on the What Are You Made Of show with your boy C-Rock. Until next time, folks, beat that one.
Music licensing reimagined.